love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustler, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Monday night meltdown has begun as we pick up the pieces following a roller coaster, an emotional night across the board. Let's start off in the National Hockey League as the Las Vegas Golden Knights take game one of the North versus West semifinals. We're not doing Eastern Conference, Western Conference this year, but credit to the Vegas Golden Knights. They did what they had to do. They won the hockey game. 4-1 was the final score. And truth be told, anybody that watched this hockey game that bet on the under 5.5, that's what you call, you talk about bad beats. Well, that was a lucky beat right there. When you consider the Montreal Canadiens were down 4-1, and they pulled their goalie with about 4.5 minutes left in the hockey game. All right? So you pull the goalie, and there wasn't a single goal. There were more goals without the goal with the goalie than there was without the goalie. Hockey is a weird sport, man. And like show business, like George Burns said, show business is a hideous bitch goddess. So is the National Hockey League. And we knew going in that the officiating would be one-sided. And Colorado Avalanche fans are sending me tweets and sending me not just like it's not conspiracy theories, but can you believe this, guys? In the last seven periods of the series with Vegas and Colorado, a series in which anybody that watched it saw they were beating the crap out of each other, Vegas did not have a penalty called for seven straight periods other than when they flicked the puck over the glass when they didn't have a choice but to call it. Like, really? Like, Colorado Avalanche fans know. And we saw tonight, Max Pacioretty, vicious elbow. That's like, that's like almost suspendable type of elbow. The referee was right in front of the play. No call. Montreal Canadiens, Buddy on Vegas trips over the blue line. Buddy on the Canadiens sort of poke checks the puck. Buddy, tumbles over the blue line on his own. And, that's a penalty. And I'm telling you right now, the Vegas Golden Knights were the better hockey team tonight. I'm not sitting here telling you, oh, the referees cost the Montreal Canadiens the game, but they didn't help. They didn't help. And I tell you what, it's harder to come back when you're trying to kill a penalty every 2 minutes, right? And you can see, too, did you see, Buddy, I think it was Reeves, right? Buddy on the Knights totally, tackles Gallagher to the ground and then looked at the ref like he was surprised. It was almost like he's a mobster type of deal that, hey, to the ref, like, hey, like, we paid you off already. You know what I mean? Like, to a crooked cop. It's like, what are you doing arresting me? You're on our payroll. Like, the Vegas were actually, like, had that look. Like, wow, we don't get penalties called on us. Don't you know that? And like I said, it's no excuse, but it's just facts. So seven straight periods, come on. Seven straight periods against Colorado. And now tonight, Patriotti's like throwing elbows. Vegas are like tackling people. Canadians like, you know, skate past someone. That's a penalty. It's an epic joke. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. I am Gabriel Morenzi. This is Sports Rage. It's a Monday night's at Meltdown. Mo Khan is going to step up and in. From Montreal, although maybe we should cancel Mo's appearance because Mo's joined us like 3 weeks in a row, and the Canadians have always won. Like, he's joined us after, like, you know, I said, like, I was thinking, like, you know, Mo's actually the good luck charm. We got to keep this thing going. But Mo, we got Mo Khan's insight, CTV TV, and TSN radio. Mo Khan will step up and in. We'll get George Kurtz's take on what happened tonight. We'll get George Kurtz's take on the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Rick Saratella will talk some NFL football because the countdown is on. That's right. Listen, guys, we're already midway through June right now, right? What is it? It's mid-June right now? So, you know, football, it's coming. It's here. And, in fact, I know it's coming because I actually got an email and a call today about the football season. That's the whole thing. Like, and when, you know, and when you're in this business, and even if you're like a handicapper and stuff, if you don't know that it's like football season soon, then you know what? You're probably not like employed, or you're not very good at what you do. We'll put it that way. You know what I mean? Like, deals are done, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, deals are being done right now for like September and like, you know, the football season. All right, what's this? What's that? For the football season, it's around the corner, man. So Rick Saratella is going to step up, and we're actually going to take a look at next year's draft already. That's right, because we're insane. And it also, a little Heisman Trophy talk, it'll correlate with it all. So Vegas wins this evening. They take game one. The referees suck pucks tonight, all right? They suck pucks. But it wasn't the reason why the Montreal Canadiens lost the hockey game this evening. We'll dissect the game a little bit later on and throughout the program. Now, one thing that I tweeted out and that one thing that people seem to forget in the playoffs is it's the first of four. It's the first of four. And, you know, L.A. Clipper fans know that, right? L.A. Clipper fans know that. Milwaukee Buck fans know that. And Atlanta Hawk fans now know that. I'm telling you, man. I gotta, you know, I've been around a long time, guys. Never have I seen a playoffs like this. Never.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Where, like, just every 2 days, there's a new narrative. You're like, are you kidding me? We're tied now? This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. We're kicking it on SiriusXM. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us wherever you may be this evening. Everybody tuning in on our digital platforms as well. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, will join us in level three. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, Sports Illustrated. We'll talk. Man, we're crazy. Like, we're ready for football. We'll talk some NFL football this year. But we're already going to get into next year's draft. Because it's already, we're already talking about the quarterbacks and Heisman Trophy. George Kurtz will join us from Long Island. And in level two, we'll talk Islanders, Tampa, Yankees baseball, Major League Baseball, Canadians and Knights. But let's send it to Montreal. And we are going to have Vegas covered throughout the week as well. We were on with Brian Blessing earlier today. He was in Vegas. He's going to be on with us later. We're going to get Gary Lawless on later in the week. So we're going to have some Vegas coverage. We're going to stay touch bases in all the different cities. Mo Khan is in Montreal. And first things first, Mo, you didn't tell us. I was unaware. Did you study, like, you know, you're a meteorologist now, Mo? Somebody sent me a tweet on Saturday. They said, hey, your boy Mo Khan's doing the weather on TV right now. And you were looking good, so congratulations. Was that your first time, or you've been doing weather? Or like, well, what's up with that?
Yeah, no, it was my first time, Gabe. Thank you very much for the congratulations. It was my first time doing it this past weekend. I also did it on Sunday. And it was a long process in how they went about with the decision to bring me on board. And so I'll be the third stringer behind the top two on the depth chart. So I only come in if they're going to be on vacation or if they're on sick, whatever it might be for the time being.
Oh, don't worry. Those they'll always be on video. You'll work a lot, Mo. You'll get some work. They're big stars. And I tell you what, say hello to Lori Graham. She used to come on our show, actually, on the Team 990, if you remember, in the old days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was crazy. I was sort of ahead of the curve, actually, if you remember. No one did that, right? And she thought I was nuts at the time. No one did that in the old days, guys. We're talking, like, you know, literally 18 years ago. I had the local weather lady on to talk about weather in the NFL and stuff. I'd say, Lori, what do you think about the weather? Like, she was all into it. She said, oh, I had so much fun on your show. I have all these people that come up to me. Oh, I love you on Sports Rage. And it was funny because you wouldn't figure, like, just like, the, you know, this nice weather lady. But, no, congratulations. It's a legendary station. It's one of the heritage stations, I think. It's one of the oldest stations in North America, actually, CTV, CFCF, Channel 12. So, congratulations, and you know what? Like I said, I have fond memories of the network. You remember, Mo? Remember, before I moved, I used to go on the Ron Ruh show.
Absolutely,
on
yeah.
On that network. Yeah, fond memories. So, what's the weather in Montreal right now? Bleak, dark, depressing. Because I tell you, so what'd you think of the game tonight, Mo?
You know, Gabe, when we spoke the last couple of weeks, right, and the biggest question of concern for any team coming out of the North was how would they fare against the better teams out there, right? And I liken this game to the Habs being a team from Big East football playing a team from the SEC in this matchup as it was tonight with Vegas. I thought the Habs came out guns a-blazing in the first 10 minutes. And the thing is, Gabe, when you look at the Canadiens compared to the Knights, the Habs are a good team. They had to cash in on those chances in the first 10 minutes, which they didn't do. The Knights cashed in on their chances because they weathered the storm, took a couple rounds to get adapted to the Canadiens. And look, the key thing was their goals came from defensemen, and that was the difference in why the Vegas Knights won that hockey game over the Habs, because their defense played much better in both ends of the rink. I just thought Toffoli, Anderson were non-existent. Gallagher was the only one that was providing some fireworks from the attacking lines of the Habs. So they have their work cut out for them for game two, but there's no discouragement because I think the Habs played well, but they need to be better at the opposite end of the rink and finish off those chances and make it a closer affair.
Yeah, they didn't get run out of the rink, right? That's the whole thing.
No.
Like, there's the whole thing about, oh, Vegas, you're going to be too much. Vegas is going to be too much. You know, Mo, listen, Mo was a great football player at Concordia University. So, Mo, putting a football, I tweeted it out. It was sort of like a football game where one team was marching up and down the field, racking up yards, but punting from the 40 and punting from the 45. And then the other team, like, returned one of the punts for a touchdown, like was Theodore's snapshot, right? It was like, really? we've just dominated for 12 minutes and we're losing 1-0. Really? This is like, and that's hockey, right? That's hockey. And then they still played well. They still played well. And then, like, it's like a football game where it's like you're playing well, you're doing everything right, but the other team just returned a punt for a touchdown. And then you're doing everything right. You're doing everything right. You have them on like 3rd and 18, and boom, they hit a bomb for a touchdown. And then you're down 14-0. And then you're like, oh, really? And then how devastating was it? And you could see the look on Caulfield's face. So he scores his first playoff goal. He scores his goal. It's 2-1. I even tweet, all right, we've got life. And then boom, yeah, right away. That was the killer. That goal was the backbreaker, bro.
Yeah, that was a smash and grab goal by the Knights 50 seconds later after the Caulfield goal. And I thought at that moment, that's where the Habs looked deflated, because look, Carey Price played well, Gabe. He made some big saves. This game could have been 6-1 by the end of it, and it wasn't, because Carey Price kept the Habs in the hockey game. And I just thought also missing Jeff Petrie hurt the back end of the Habs. That first pass outside their zone towards the neutral zone was non-existent for the Habs. And I thought the Habs gave too much of a free release of Knights coming over the attack zone and not really walling off or making it very truncated in the middle of the rink. So there were some things that Dominique Ducharme was outcoached by Peter DeBoer. But look, this team with Carey Price and how they played in this game, again, they showed signs that they can keep up with the Knights. But again, Gabe, they have to be much more efficient with the puck on their stick in the attack zone and getting goals and giving Carey Price maybe a 2-goal lead or even a 1-goal lead that might be enough to beat the Knights in this series.
Mo Khan joining us from Montreal. As I sweat out this Utah Clippers total, like, man, it's like the Canadiens game. Really softened the blow. Like, I'm not even really upset about the Canadiens loss. I'm not upset about the Canadiens loss tonight. I would have been if the game would have went over. I thought it was going to be a lower scoring game, and it was. And then there was the two quick goals, and then things opened up. But guys, I even played an in game under 5.5. Like, I'm telling you, that's why I was tweeting. Man, this is stressful. I had like a million under 5.5 plays. And I have a parlay under 5.5 in the hockey game with over in the Utah Clippers game. And the in-game is exactly on the number right now, Mo. Like, and I tell you, you know, too, like, blowouts is bad, bro, because then it just leads to garbage time. So I'm on the wrong end of this. It's literally, I've got 220, over 223. It's literally 223.5 right now. And there's 9 minutes left. So, I don't know. And I got to say, Mo, we got pretty damn lucky, bro. So I bet under 5.5, Mo, and the Canadians pulled a goalie with 4 minutes left. I can't believe there was no more goals in that game.
Like, again, with or without Price, I am surprised there weren't more goals. But again, Gabe, as you said before, had the Habs got that first goal, I think that would have changed the script of how the game would have played out in the rest of the matchup that it was. But again, if they don't get that first goal, they're playing behind with that force of what they have for the Vegas Knights. So again, game two pivotal for them. Get that first goal. I think that changes the dynamics of what could be if they come away with a split going back to Montreal.
You know, Mo, like you said, Mo's an athlete. So there's two ways of looking at things. And, you know, the Canadians played 11 games in 19 days in the first two rounds, and it was a lot. But when you're hot, right? It's like you're in Vegas. You're at the blackjack table. You're hot. You don't want to leave. And then suddenly they're off for a week. It seemed to me, we'll get Mo's take on this on the other side. It seemed to me that the Montreal Canadiens came out flying in like the first 9 minutes on adrenaline, and then they just hit a wall, like a fighter almost. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We have Mo Khan joining us from Montreal. George Kurtz will join us from Long Island. And Rick Serratella will join us from the Jersey Shore a little bit later on. So, Mo, I was saying, I don't know if you agree with this. You notice the Canadians came out flying, very similar to the New York Islanders yesterday. I liked the early shifts. They were taking a body. Romanoff's hit was awesome against Petrangelo. Corey Perry steamrolled, I think it was Reeves. Martinez. I believe it was Martinez on the side of the net. The Canadians were taking a body. They were skating around. But I don't know if you watch UFC much, Mo, but, you know, sometimes in the UFC you'll see a fighter will come out and he'll set too high of a pace for himself, right? And, you know, they only fight every 4 months or whatever, and basically they'll gas. So it's like, yeah, dude, you came out, and, like, there's a lot of fighters that's like, yeah, they're really dangerous in the first 2-3 minutes of the fight, but they're going to get tired as the fight goes on. They're best. And it seemed to me the Canadians, and it wasn't that Vegas were, like, so much faster than them. It just seemed to me, Mo, the Canadians look tired. It's crazy, but I think they're going to be better on Tuesday that they have their legs under them, that they're back to playing hockey again. They haven't played in a week. It's hard to dial it up to that intensity. And Vegas just played on Thursday, bro, right? You know what I mean? It's those little things like that. There's always that debate, rust versus rest. Yet the Canadians, to me, they seem tired. They didn't have that burst tonight.
Yeah, you know, Gabe, we go back to the Jets series, right? Same thing with Winnipeg. They had swept Edmonton in four. And they're just chilling out for a week and a half before they would face the Habs. And they came off to a slug start and got bounced in four by Montreal, right? The Habs had a week of rest and relaxation and refocusing towards this series. And, you know, with the travel to Vegas and playing for the first time over the border with a crowd in place, I think the juices were at an all-time high for the first 10. But, again, when they couldn't get that first goal and you saw Vegas lean on the Habs, right, Mark Stone, Reeves, Pacioretty, the plethora of fours that they had rolling four lines of Peter DeBoer, lean on the Habs. And, yes, you brought the point about the Pacioretty hit late in the third period on Sherratt, whether it was illegal or illegal. Those are the type of hits that kind of woke up the Habs because, Gabe, when you think about the first two series against Toronto and Winnipeg, those weren't physical series. This will be a physical series. This will be a meat grinder series for the Habs. Can they match that and keep this like a boxing match, right? Be consistent with your body blows because, as you said before, you can't go for the knockout punch in the first period because there's three more periods to play in total, and that's what the Habs tried to do in the first 10, and they came up empty.
I'm a big fan. Mo Khan joining us. I'm a fan of Kevin BX's work, and I thought he had a great point. As far as the Canadians on the faceoff. And even though the Canadians, and we get the final numbers up, they won more faceoffs than they lost tonight, I believe, when it was all said and done. We'll get the numbers up. But they got burnt. Two goals, right? Two faceoffs led to goals. And I thought BX, faceoffs won. Yeah, the Canadians won 32-25. And it's interesting because in the regular season, Vegas were an average faceoff team. Yet in the postseason, they've been the best out of any playoff team. So it's kind of weird. You know, things can be different in the playoffs. But Bieksa had a great point when he said the Canadians, he said Suzuki got burnt on one. He said he's right. Now that the Canadians know, guys, you can't just go for a clean sweep and try to win this faceoff, Mo. Like Bieksa said tonight, you got to play for the tie, bro. Like with the faceoff, you know what I mean? You're not going to just win it cleanly and dump it back into the corner to your D-man. You've got to just muck it up, man. And so it's not a clean break just back to the defenseman. And they're capable of doing it. The Canadians are a good faceoff team, actually. But I think now they know. Like, seriously, no. Guys, we lose faceoffs in our own zone. That puck, and look, Bieksa said that wasn't 108 miles an hour. Now, I don't know what it really was. It was pretty freaking fast, I'll tell you that. The faceoff was won, and then the puck was in the net, bro. Like, that was a damn fast shot, Mo.
you know, Gabe, the biggest issue with the Habs, where they were really twitchy during the regular season, was their face-off draws in their own zone, where they lost some, and that would result in goals. The same thing happened tonight with the Theodore goal, how that played out. And you saw, right, that happened. It comes to the blue line. bam, it goes in. Price was kind of slow to react to that puck, even though he was screened. There was the goals that were given up by Carey Price weren't the traditional goals. These were unorthodox goals, we'll use that term, that Price a lot, because both goals played well. Fleury played very well for the Knights early on, and Price played well for the three periods. But again, when you look at the body of goals that Vegas had on Monday night, those weren't from the forwards. Those were from the defensemen throughout the game. And that's why I think, again, if the Habs can get something going the other way and have a lucky bounce or two going their way, maybe they get game two. But again, for the Knights and how they play from one end to the other end, that was textbook hockey, and they neutralized that Canadiens team from start to finish when it mattered most.
And I'll tell you what, we got to give credit to Marc-Andre Fleury. Class act. Who doesn't like Marc-Andre Fleury? So the thing is, he had 28 saves tonight. Save percentage of .966. Give him credit. But it sort of reminds me, guys, of the first few games. It sort of reminded me of, like, the Leaf games a bit. Like, the Canadians weren't aggressive enough. And it's like, yeah, the other goalie was good. Like, you know, Fleury made a couple of really nice saves. He did. But at the same point in time, not spectacular saves. Like, the Canadians got chances, but they really weren't. You know what I mean? They weren't, the first 9 minutes they did, but they weren't aggressive enough. Like I said, they just sort of hit a wall. Physically. They didn't have the energy, but I sincerely believe they're going to be better on Wednesday. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win on Wednesday, but, Mo, you got to love the playoffs, Mo, and you see it in the NBA, huh? I mean, man, even I said the Hawks and the Sixers would go seven games before the game tonight. I was like, oh, the Hawks are done. Like, what are they going to do? Philadelphia's just better. Boom. Suddenly it's 2-2. What about Milwaukee and Brooklyn? People don't realize, Mo, these playoffs, it's 1-4, not 1-1.
Yeah, I know you're right. And that's the thing about it. And you know, to use the Atlanta Hawks comparison, right? They got twitchy in the fourth quarter against the Sixers where they could have blown that lead. And that's why I think in game two, the key for the Habs, though, will be the forwards, Gabe. Because, look, Nick Suzuki didn't really have that influential game that he was looking for. Kotkaniemi did not play as well as he had in the first two rounds. That spine, that center core that they have has to play better. And you wonder, and that's why Jake Evans was skating with the team in Montreal before they departed for Vegas, and he was on the plane ride back to Las Vegas. Will he factor in at some point during the series? Because, okay, we saw what he was as that fourth-line shutdown center for this Habs team and how well he played. If he's healthy enough, Dominic Ducharme has to look at that avenue because he can bring a different element to this team with his speed, his pace, and his closing out ability to make this difficult for the Vegas Knights defensemen, who I think are very talented and very deep. So that's why I think for Dominic Ducharme, he's got to look at his lineup and say, look, what is the best recipe we can go with to make this a better series going back to Montreal 1-1?
Mo Khan kicking it with us. So, yeah, they're going to be in tough. Vegas are the real deal. Watching them tonight, the Canadians can play with them. You know what I mean? You could tell Vegas are the better team. Thing with Vegas is they're kind of, you know, Mo, you brought it up, they're pretty big, right? So they got big dudes. And another thing is, too, like, they're better than the Jets and the Leafs. They're more physical. So that's the thing. Like, the Canadiens defensemen were doing a great job of getting the puck out of zone against Winnipeg, against Toronto in the last few games. Tonight, like, they got to be quicker. Like, everything, I think they can, you know. And it's a feeling out process, guys. Whenever you play a bunch of series against other teams, right, you know, sometimes one team, it's like, all right, now we know, you know, number one, we can't get burnt off faceoffs in our own zone. Number two, don't let these guys tee up slap shots from the blue line because, man, they can blast it. So, like, you've really got to tighten things up. And it's a good point as far as Suzuki's concerned. You know what? You know, honestly, Mo, I think another way of putting it tonight, I think a lot of the kids on the Habs learned a lesson tonight. You know, Suzuki in the faceoff circle about not trying to win it clean. Guys being careful about don't do a careless icing, just passing the puck around the boards because it could lead to a bad thing. Like, just there were just a lot of little things that they could do better. But I'm telling you guys, I really do believe this, Mo. I really do believe that physically they were tired. That they didn't play in a week, caught up to them. It's hot as hell in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, it's really hot. I think that they're going to be better and more acclimated to everything. And plus, now it's more hockey. Now they've got a game under their belt again. And listen, no panic. They were down 3-1 to the Maple Leafs. No panic.
No. But here's the thing, though, Gabe. With this Vegas team, though, as we said before, their sides can lean on this team. Look, the Habs are built pretty well. They got some pretty big guys in the back end. But the problem is with their backing is this. If Jeff Petrie does not play game two, do you go with the current backcourt that you have? Because Petrie's ability to get that puck out of the zone, that first pass out, his skating ability makes a huge difference on the power play. And also in five-on-five situations, Romanov held well. You made the point with that big hit on Pietrangelo early in the first period. That set the tone for the back line here. And if Petrie does come back, Gustafsson has to be the guy that has to go out because, quite frankly, you need speed, you need size, you need guys that are going to play with tenacity, and that's what Romanov brought today for this team against the Knights. So I think there's a bit of question marks for Deschamps to look at of what he can answer. But, again, you're right, though. If they come out game two, if Petrie's going to be out there, he can make a big difference, and it alleviates the minutes off of Shea Weber's legs to keep him fresher moving deep into the series.
Mo Khan, all right, Mo, we just got about a minute. We got about a minute left here, Mo. So I saw that the Premier of Quebec was saying that he's talking with the health experts about, you know, expanding the limit of people that are allowed in to the Bell Center. Any word on that? Like, I guess they're gonna let more people in, but how many? Like, is it gonna get up to 5,000, 4,000? What are you hearing, Mo?
We don't know yet. The goal is probably 5K, but again, to be determined with Legault.
Hey, Mo, congratulations, Mr. Weatherman.
Thank
Thanks a lot for taking the time to beat us, my man.
Always, man. Be good, brother.
You're listening.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This is Sports Rage. The Monday night meltdown. Throwing it down, Sirius XM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. George Kurtz will step up and in level two. And we've got Rick Saratella, Sports Illustrated, NFL Draft Bible, kicking with us later. And, man, it looks like we're going to fall short here with this total. I hate garbage time and these stupid blowouts. Although, I don't know, maybe. Maybe. It's like 4 minutes left. It's lingering right around the total right now. And, you know, these NBA playoffs have been crazy, man. They really have been. Every time somebody is left for dead. And this is why we should do it more. And we were talking about it. We'll talk about this with George Kurtz, actually, even though he's an Islander fan. We'll get his perspective on it just from a betting standpoint. But, you know, betting game by game in the playoffs and stuff, it's hard. Right? Like, you know, look at the other night. Like, last, we had one night in the NBA where it was like 0-3, and then the next night it was 7-0. Right? Like, you bet these playoff games, there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. There's like the teams themselves. Right? And we often get caught up in the emotion of it. Like, smart teams and good players and good teams. And, you know, it's the one thing you've heard me talk about Giannis a lot about this. Giannis is really chill. Like, if you notice, like, he really is, right? Like, when they were asked before the Miami series, you know, what's going to be, someone said, like, didn't ask him, will it be different? You know, they said, you know, how is it going to be different this year than last year? You know, when they got swept. And he said, I don't know if it will be. He said, we haven't played the series yet. He said, if we play like we did last year, we'll get swept. He goes, but I think we'll be better. And we'll see what happens. And when Brooklyn were up 2-0, Giannis, he was asked after, and, you know, he said, whatever. He said, I feel no different than if we were up 2-0. He said, we're going back home next game. And I think this is the experience. Now, it doesn't mean he can ever hit a damn free throw when he has to. But I think I think it shows the experience that he has, right, of, like, the highs and the lows. Like, the Bucks were close to going to the finals a few years ago, and the Raptors beat them, right? The Bucks were up 2-0, and they were in double overtime, right? So it's the same thing with being a bettor, right? You can get caught up in one night, and you're like, oh, my God, I smoked the playoffs, NBA and NHL. And then the next night, you can get punched in the mouth because there's highs and lows to this stuff. You know, there's highs and lows with the teams. So I think a good way of approaching it, and me personally, I haven't done it enough, and we've talked about Mark Lawrence, who's the master of it, and we were talking with Teddy about this, and Teddy, remember we had the conversation last week with Teddy Covers about this, when he said, when you're in the playoffs, if you like a team in the next game, just bet them in the series, right? And it was one of those deals, so sort of like with the Clippers tonight. If you like the Clippers tonight, just should have taken them in the series. They were underdogs. And it's sort of like the same logic with the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow. And it doesn't mean that you're locked in with these bets, because oftentimes you're going to get these teams at plus money. And just look at the roller coaster, like over and over, guys. Like almost every damn team in the NBA playoffs has had a roller coaster in which they were left for dead. The Canadians were left for dead in the NHL. But like, just for, so look, in this round alone, so Atlanta, Atlanta's tied at one, and you know what? I'm kicking myself for that, because I said Atlanta would split when they went back home, right? And I'm kicking myself for abandoning ship and saying, nah, Philadelphia will roll them tonight. And they were, man. Philadelphia were up big at the half. But give props to Atlanta. So that's what I'm saying. How many people, and the thing is, see, we're actually on the air and stuff, right? And we'll own. We're actually, painfully, truthfully honest about everything, right? So, you have a lot of jackasses and stuff that'll just rip teams after, right? They don't have to have takes or anything like that. No one cares about their takes, right? You're a bunch of losers. So no one cares, right? That's why Twitter was invented, for people like you. Nobody's to type away their random points to people that people care about their points. But how many people thought, let me ask you, Matthias, Philadelphia messed them up the last couple of games, like they've been killing them. Atlanta doesn't have DeAndre Hunter. They haven't looked good. They're down 13 at the half, bro. They're down 2-1. They're down 13 at the half. What are the chances you thought, oh, yeah, we're going to be tied at 2 going back to Philadelphia after this? As if, right? Like, look how quick things can change. Look at with your Clippers, bro, the Dallas Mavericks, the Utah Jazz. Over and over, we're seeing these teams that are down 0-2 come back. The Phoenix Suns and the Lakers, it was 2-1, right? Time and time again, you can get these teams at plus money. But did you think Atlanta were going to win tonight, and especially Matthias, when they were down by 13 at the half?
I thought they could, Gabe, because their ability to make shots, Joel Embiid was a little bit banged up. Ben Simmons doesn't have a jump shot. And Tobias Harris was going to have to close out the game, in my opinion. I wonder about
Joel. So you're telling me when they're down 13, when they were down 13 at the half, you thought, oh, Atlanta's going to come back?
Well, I kind of did think they could come back, because in the first quarter, I thought that they had a bunch of opportunities to be up in that quarter, and the ball was not going in. How many missed alley-oops? How many wide-open threes did they miss? I thought they were going to get the same looks in the second half and that the ball might go in. I just didn't think they could extend the lead. Trey Young was miserable in the first quarter. He was airballing open three-pointers. The Atlanta Hawks were just off, but you could tell that they were playing with some sort of intensity. And it kind of showed in the second half. They did make shots in the second half. But at the same time, in the fourth quarter, when it was a pick-and-pick game, I did think Philadelphia was going to close out the game, because I do think that they have more of an identity than the Atlanta Hawks do when it comes to down in the fourth quarter stretch of the game. But Joel Embiid's banged up, man. And you could tell he's having a hard time on his knee.
They don't. That's the thing. The Sixers are not a clutch team, right? That's the thing with the Philadelphia 76ers. I knew they were going to miss at the end. Like, they had a chance to win at the end. And, brick, right, with Ben Simmons and Embiid. Embiid was terrible in the second half. Embiid's like he's a front runner, bro. And so is the Sixers are the definition of front runners. Like, if the Sixers, get up on you and, like, they're really smashing you and stuff and everything's going well for them, then Embiid's a monster and stuff. But if you need them to hit a shot in the clutch in a close game, look at the games that they've won in this series and look at the games that they've lost. They've lost the two close games and they've won in blowouts, right? They're a type of team, like Philly are really good. Like, Philly are capable of blowing you out. But if you get them in a close game, man, they tighten up and they're not clutch. Like, Ben Simmons can't shoot, and Bede sort of gets caught in between. Does he want to shoot or take it to the rack and stuff? But Atlanta got lucky as hell tonight. I mean, they turned the ball over with 16 seconds left. All they had to do was ice the game. They threw it out of bounds. Like, and that's right after that, I stopped watching. I knew, too. I was like, yeah, yeah. Philadelphia won't score. And right after Atlanta threw it out, I was like, watch. They're going to screw this up. Lo and behold, you see Philadelphia, bad shot selection. Everything was rushed. They had 16 seconds. They took the shot. Like, there was 9 seconds left still after. Like, there was no need to rush it. You know what I mean? Like I said, they're not, they don't, and you know what they probably should do? They probably should just go to Tobias Harris in those spots. But they don't. All right, they're going to give it to Embiid, and Embiid is good, but he's clumsy and stuff, right? He's a big, clumsy dude. So, you know, and now suddenly we got a series again. Like, I don't know. Like, these NBA playoffs are whacked, and we'll get you the updated series numbers. We've got an updated series number. And, you know, it's funny because I thought about this series price. The Vegas Golden Knights were minus 460 coming into the series. Biggest series favorites in the semifinals since 1989, 31 years. And I actually thought, oh, boy, man, if the Canadians lose this game tonight, like, they're going to make this, like, minus 850, like, minus 800. Lo and behold, here we are. Vegas Golden Knights, minus 850. That's the new series price right now. Montreal Canadiens, plus 550. There's some value here now. There's some value here now. Now you can get the Montreal Canadiens at +2.5 in the series at minus 105. This series will go six games. Vegas could win in six. You know, it wouldn't shock me at all. But this, you know, that's sort of what I think. I almost think this series is going six games one way or the other. But the fact that Vegas just took this win.
Do you think if Montreal would have scored the first goal in the first 7 minutes of the game where they had a couple opportunities, the game would have gone differently to be leading instead of playing from behind?
No, I actually don't. I think even if they would have scored that goal, because you know what? They took the crowd out of it early. It was pretty quiet in there and stuff. It wasn't like, oh, it was all this intimidating or anything like that. But I honestly believe what I said earlier, Matthias, to Mo Khan, that the Canadians like a fighter, bro. You're a big MMA guy, like a fighter. They had a great first round. You know what I mean? They had a great first round. They came out flying and stuff, but you could tell they were just sort of gassed. Like, they didn't play in seven days. Like, if you're Vegas, it was actually ideal, right? It was actually ideal. They played Thursday, and then, boom, you get Friday, total day off. Saturday, all right, let's sort of, you know, let's look at some tape here and have a skate. Sunday, nice practice. Like, everything was sort of set up nicely for Vegas. And I think the seven-day layoff hurt the Montreal Canadiens. Like, you know, they'd played every 2 days and back-to-back all the time, and they were hot. And the thing is, they didn't get healthier in this 7 days off, right? They didn't play in a week, but they didn't get anybody back, right? Like, so it wasn't like, yeah, you know what, but at least this guy's back now, or at least that guy's, at least Petrie's back now, or at least Evans is back now. They didn't get people back through the week. But so, no, I honestly believe even if the Canadians would have scored early, that first goal, Vegas would have dialed it up a notch. I think Vegas were the better team tonight. I don't, there's no excuses coming from me. You know what I mean? There's no, Vegas were the better team tonight. I thought the officiating was terrible. And it was definitely one-sided. And as we stated earlier, as Rob Pizzola, and credit to Pizzola for sending me the tweet, but he said seven straight periods without a penalty call on Vegas in the Colorado series that weren't like Vegas flipping the puck into the stands. Like, think about that. Is that by coincidence? Like, Bettman wants Vegas there. Like, you know what I mean? It's a good story. It's a new team. He also knows if Vegas wins, they'll be there forever. Right? Vegas wins one cup. They're there for 50. Like, you know what I mean? Their season tickets are sold out for years. Like, it's big. It's not a coincidence there's been a big West Coast push, right, over the years. And we saw it, like, I remember when Vegas came into the league, they screwed the Kings hard, man. Like, they screwed the Kings hard in that series. I'm not a Kings fan, but I'm telling you, they screwed the Kings hard in that series. But going back, they screwed the Leafs, right, for the Kings. What a coincidence. When Gretzky, man, the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup in 1986, all right, against the Calgary Flames. In 1989, the Montreal Canadiens played the Calgary Flames in the Stanley Cup. In 1991, the Edmonton Oilers won the Stanley Cup against the Boston Bruins. In 1993, the Montreal Canadiens won the Cup. So you had Canadian teams winning every 2 years. Gary Bettman became the commissioner in 1994 and had never won six. Jeez, that's strange.
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you. And nobody
wants. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Oh, God, I think I'm going to be sick. Yeah, I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan. People think I'm, you know, big-time upset about it. I'm not. I'm actually more upset right now. I just got screwed over. You believe the Canadiens' total stayed under 5.5? I played an in-game under 5.5, all right, in the hockey game. I was like, even though there's goals, this is still staying under. And I clicked it, and I parlayed it because I knew I was going to take the over in the Utah Jazz game and the Clipper game. So I was like, you know what, I'll just parlay this, and we'll see what happens. Oh, man, it was like plus 169, plus 172 or something like that. The game stays under 5.5, and I have over 223. Utah and the Clippers get to 222. Wow. Wow. Bartender. Hey, over here, bartender. Couple of shots, please. Hey, whatever, man. We got lucky that this hockey game stayed under. We had more on that than I did on this parlay, but I was really hoping for this parlay on the way out. You know what? Basically, if I would have won this parlay on the way out, it would have been like sort of just, I would have lost some juice tonight. It just would have been a wash with that parlay at plus money like that, at plus 170. Instead, it's like, no, now we did end up losing a little bit. Oh, God, that was close. I stopped looking because I knew it was garbage time. I'm like, oh, I don't know. This is just going to frustrate me. But I saw, man, we're close. We're close. 222. But I don't even want to know how they missed the last shot. Like, that's just, hey, that's betting. That's betting. You should just bet on the LA Dodgers every day. Later, run and a half. All right. George Kurtz is going to step up. And then we got Rick Saratella. Son of a man. I can't blame your Clippers, Matias. I got to blame the Utah Jazz. I got to blame the Utah Jazz. They're the ones that, when they only score 104 points. I cannot believe it. 118-104. Stupid Utah Jazz. I know, they scored 13 points. They scored 13 points in the first, and I lost by 1 point.
You're listening to the home of the winning edge.
It's easy to get.
Just keep it here. Get on the grid.
This
is the...